That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
The first pick makes you a superstar. The 32nd pick makes you a Super Bowl contender's missing piece. But what about the guys stuck in the middle? Welcome to Slot Number 26 Archives. It's the draft position where the Hall of Fame talent meets some of the biggest what-ifs in gridiron history. From the legends who defied the odds to the names that vanished overnight, we're tracing the legacy of the NFL's most overlooked prime real estate. Because at pick 26, you're a solid player going to a contender. Historian Ed Cleese joins us once again in the pig pen as we go to Pigskin Dispatch, journey through the draft positions.
Hey, Darren, how are you?
I am doing super as we're getting so much closer to this day where we all, you know, love in the offseason, probably the biggest day in the offseason of the National Football League. It's draft day, but some great picks have come through at slot number 26 that we're going to talk about today.
Yes, sir. If you want to start with the most recent one, we probably should skip it because last year, James Pierce went number 26 and his career might be over, Darren, with his very, serious off the field accusations, that sounds like he's in big, big trouble. And he may or may not see the field again. So not the off field stuff. But that goes with this number, this pick, the last 25 years, not great. And a very unimpressive list of players for pretty much the last 25 years. Prior to that, there was a strong run. So our top five is not too bad, especially at the top. Recently, you know, you got Montez Sweat, you've got Calvin Ridley, guys that were drafted somewhat recently. Those are fine players, you know, guys that play, but nobody that anybody would write home about. We're getting to the point now in the draft in our countdown where I think you can kind of really start talking about busts. You know, you're getting high enough now to where you draft a guy, you know, 26, you expect him to be a key contributor for your team. And if he's not at all, then I think the bust label is fair. And there's been two big quarterback busts at this pick, and that would have been Paxton Lynch in 2018 and Jim Druckenmiller in 1997 by the Broncos and the 49ers, respectively. Those two players, Darren, combined for five career starts. First-round quarterbacks combined for five career starts. That is bad.
Yeah, that's kind of a waste of a pick, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then Druckenmiller kind of like also had some off-field stuff too. He was accused of some things, and so it was a rough go for him. He was out of the league quickly, and as was Lynch. I think Lynch was in the league for 2 years. So, you know, and then they're gone. There was one quarterback who's not on my list, who is not in the top five, and also is not a bust. And he's a current NFL head coach. And I'm sure you know who that is.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Okay. Current NFL head coach was taken number 26, was Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gosh. Think of that. Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh was taken number 26, and he had a fine career. Not spectacular. I'm not sure if they would say that was a pick they wound up being happy with or not, but he certainly was a good career, had some good moments. There were also some running back busts. Chris Perry in 2004, Cleveland Gary in 1989, Reggie Dupard in 1986, Steve Sewell from OU in 1985. A bunch of running backs that never really made a mark, certainly were not first round worthy at all. There's a few, I found some honorable mention types that didn't make the top five, but Robert Porcher was drafted by the Lions in 92, and I didn't realize he played his entire career with Detroit. I think it was like 15 years. Never spectacular, but a real steady contributor, a pretty good pass rusher, a nice player on some pretty lousy teams. Mm-hmm. Don Mosbar was the center for the Raiders for over a decade throughout the mid-80s to like the mid-90s. And then one that stuck out to me a little bit was Dana Stubblefield, drafted in 93. And I have got a little bit of a history with him. But he was the defensive player in the year in the NFL in 1997. And he had 39 and a half sacks his first 5 years in the league as an interior defensive lineman, including 15 in 97 when he was defensive player of the year. 15 sacks from an interior defensive lineman is amazing. Between the 97 and 98 seasons, he was a free agent. He signed a massive deal with the Redskins. And as with the same offseason that they signed Big Daddy Wilkinson. So they signed two defensive tackles, both to massive contracts, both massive busts, because Stubblefield's career ended the minute he signed that contract with the Redskins, basically. He had, like I said, he had 40 sacks in his first 5 years. He had 14 the rest of his six seasons in the NFL. It was a massive free agent deal, one of the biggest deals in the history of the league at the time. He never panned out. It's like he got his money and basically quiet retired at that point.
I think Washington's had quite a few of those when they pay big money to a free agent defensive lineman. It seems like the guys are really at the top of their game. They go there and just sort of fizzle out, and a lot of money spent.
We had about a 20-year period where we won in March and then lost every other month, pretty much. You know, we were they're the first fifth. Now Stubblefield was actually before Snyder. 2 years before Snyder got there, but for about the first 15 years of the Snyder era, they were pretty infamous for overpaying and being very disappointed with the results of the players that wound up in Washington. Poor management. But yeah, Stubblefield was well on his way to being in the top five, but he didn't make it because he flamed out way too fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's not get too depressed here. You're going to have some good guys to pick for the top five because we have three Hall of Famers that came out of the number 27 pick so far. And that's pretty good compared to some of the other dates or slots that we've talked about already here this past week. So why don't we get into your top five?
Well, I'm doing something I haven't done very often with number five, with somebody in my top five, and I'm projecting here a little bit. So at number five, I have Jordan Love, drafted in 2021 by the Packers, of course. His career is off to a good start. We can debate whether or not we think he's on that elite level or whatever, but I think it's pretty clear that Jordan Love is going to have a good career in the NFL. At worst, he's going to have a good career in the NFL. And looking at this list of some of those other honorable mention guys, I'm pretty confident that Love's ultimately going to be better than they are. So I've got him at number five.
Okay. I think that's a pretty solid pick. You know,
I've seen enough.
Yeah. Take him to the playoffs. He's played very well. He's been in, probably the top 10 of quarterbacks the last couple of years in National Football League. And, that's a pretty good start. So, yeah. So who do you have above him?
Number four, I've got Dwayne Brown, offensive tackle taken by the Texans in 2008. One of those guys that probably most people maybe not remember or, you know, isn't really top of mind, like, oh, that guy. But he was in the league for 16 years. He was on the All-Pro team three different times, multiple Pro Bowls, very durable. And then he had kind of like a second career with the Seahawks, where he was kind of a stalwart for them as well. You know, if you get a 16-year starter at offensive tackle that's going to Pro Bowls and making all pro teams, you made a heck of a pick.
Yeah, I love those guys in the trenches when they last that long. That's great.
Yep. And number three was kind of interesting. He was shot out of a cannon to start his career. In 2009, the Packers, again, drafted Clay Matthews, linebacker. And he was a defensive rookie of the year. He was an all-pro right after that. He was a very good player for the first 5 or 6 years of his career, probably near the top of the league in the linebacker rankings. And he was sort of a pure pass rusher as well, as kind of like that traditional like outside linebacker Lawrence Taylor position. But his career was relatively short, only 11 seasons, and it ended with the Rams unceremoniously. He was just one of those guys that things were going great, and then he got kind of average, and then he was out. But the first few years, he was a tremendous player. Looked like he might even be like on a Canton trajectory, and then just never quite got the volume to get there.
Yeah, it comes from a great stock of family members that have played in the NFL. Sure. But I think maybe his undoing, as I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, was his appearance in the movie Pitch Perfect. I think maybe that derailed his career.
That'll do you in.
Yeah, that's a rule.
That'll do you in. So now number two is going to be a one you're going to like a lot, I'm sure. I feel like we've had too many Steelers on this list, but there is one for sure.
You can never have too many Steelers on any list.
So that's Alan Faneca, drafted in 1998, an offensive guard by the Steelers. Not much you can say. You know, it's hard to analyze the interior line sometimes, but he missed two games in 13 years. Eight straight All-Pro first or second teams. First of all, so eight straight, and six of them were first team. So anybody that's listening to this knows what that means. But if you happen to not know what that means, there are two guards in the NFL every year named to the All-Pro team, and 6 out of 8 years, he was one of them. So essentially for over half a decade, he was considered the first or second best player in the league at his position. And that's going to get you into Canton, which is a very deserving guy, and he made it in easily. One of the better interior linemen probably ever, was on some very, very good teams, won a Super Bowl, and ended his career 1 year with Arizona.
Yeah, I feel very connected, not only because he was a Steeler, but I was at the Canton when he was enshrined. I was in stadium on it. That was the year, the COVID year, when they had 2020 and 2021 combined together, and the Steelers played the Cowboys in the game, and five Steelers went in that weekend, you know, between those two years, which no fan can ever say that they would be able to do that again. So it was an experience of a lifetime.
Sounds like overkill.
It was just a great weekend. You know, who could do any better? But definitely a great pick there. And I have a feeling I know who you're going to have above him.
Yeah, number one's easy, and it's the opposite of a Steeler great. Is we're going to say it's Ray Lewis, drafted in 1996 by the Ravens, of course. He was the defensive rookie of the year. He was defensive player of the year twice. He was 11 All-Pro teams. He made an All-Pro team at age 35. I think the best middle linebacker in the history of the National Football League. It's tough. There's, you know, we can go, and I'm going way back. I'm talking Butkus. I'm talking Bednarik. I'm talking I'm going way back. I think he's the best. I think he's the most decorated, and I think he's the most athletic. And he also very much passed the eye test, meaning Ray Lewis showed up in the big games all the time. He was very good when it mattered. He was on a historically good defense. He was the leader of that defense. We can take the off-the-field incident, the controversy that kind of hung over his entire career for however you want. But on the field, unparalleled, in my opinion, the best middle linebacker of all time, and obviously, without question, the best number 26 pick of all time.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'd put him at the very best there, because there's a lot of great names that have played middle linebacker. But yeah, he's definitely in the conversation. And it's interesting that him and Faneca, your top two, they swapped a few times some helmet paint, I'm sure, over the years. Yeah, because middle linebacker and a guard are going at it twice a year.
Yep, they were drafted 2 years apart, so they were in that division together for a long time.
Yeah, most definitely. So that's two of the Hall of Famers, and I am going to butcher the last name of our third Hall of Famer. 1973, Buffalo took Joe DeLumiere, I believe is how you say it, with the number 26 position out of Michigan State. We also have our draft stat of the day, and this is going back. We're going to talk a little bit about Southern Cal again. In 1968, USC had five players selected in the first round, which stood as an NFL record for 36 years until 2004, Miami and Alabama rose up and had the same. So we have a a big tie there with these guys. All the number one draft picks. I mean, think about that. When you have five players in the top 28, 20, whatever they had back in 1967, or 32. That's still a lot from one school.
Yeah, no doubt. That's very impressive.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that wraps up day 26. And we are back here for 25 more days as we prepare you for the draft. Ed, we will talk to you again tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow, dear.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Gridiron, Japan!
Hello, Sports History Network listeners. I'm Greg St. James, and I'm inviting you to take a journey with me across the Pacific with Gridiron Japan Radio. I'm joined by a powerhouse team to bring you the best of football here in the land of the rising sun. We've got John Gunning of Inside Sport Japan and the Japan Times, star international and ex-league quarterback Aaron Ellis, and we're thrilled to welcome the new duo from the newly relaunched From the 55-Yard Line podcast, which is now Gridiron America Radio, co-host Dave Selinsky and Mike Tackett. We cover the Japanese X-League as well as the college game and interview the players and coaches who are making a splash here on the far side of the world. Subscribe today and help us celebrate the global game.